Wheeler and his family here for just a few days, and good to see y'all. And the kids have done grown up so. I'm telling you, they look good. We're glad to have them here with us. I didn't know they were here until about 2:30 this afternoon, but they got a distribution center in Tennessee, right? And I'm going to let him come up and tell more about it in a few minutes, so that way you can get the information straight from the horse's mouth, all right? We're glad to see you here, and I saw some more cars coming in. I understand the traffic is real heavy, especially on the interstate with an accident or something. Of course, Two Knots is always congested, seems like. And so maybe we'll have some folks. We guys saw some cars coming in, so we'll have some more folks coming here directly. All right, let's all stand together, get your hymn book, because Brother Tim comes to lead us in a song. 246, Higher Ground. Hey, everybody, take your hymn book, stand and join. All right, let's sing together now. I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand, my faith on heaven's stable land. A higher plane than I have found, Lord, plant my feet on higher. To live above the world, though Satan's darts at me are hurled. For faith has taught the joyful sound, the solid faith on higher ground. Oh, lift me up and let me stand, my faith on heaven's stable land. A higher plane than I have found, for plant my feet on higher. To scale the utmost height and catch a gleam of glory bright. But still I'll pray till heaven I'm found. Lord, lead me on to higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand, by faith on heaven's stable land. A higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet. In prayer and ask his blessing on the service. I'm going to ask our missionary to Mexico, Brother Lacey Wheeler, to lead us in prayer, please. Amen. All right, you can be seated. We'll have another song here in just a minute. But let me just give you a couple of prayer requests real quickly. I was just talking to Miss Kelly back here, and her mom has had sort of a bad day today, Miss Margie Johnson. We've been praying for her. She's back at the life care, and she was doing pretty good up until today. She's just sleeping a lot, so they're not sure exactly why. But, of course, she's got the Alzheimer's. You pray for Margie, and she just got out of the hospital with that MRSA infection. Hope there's nothing connected there. But continue to remember her in prayer. Brother Ed Coker is at home sick, and I'm assuming that's where Inez is maybe tonight, or well, she's in the nursery. Yeah, so she might have hung up trying to tell you. Everybody says the traffic is awful out there. I don't drive this time of the night on Lindsay because I'm here, and I don't have to worry about it. But Two Knot seems like it's gotten more like a four-lane interstate these days, and sometimes you get stuck out there for a long time. But anyway, pray for Brother Ed Coker. He went and had got two antibiotics from his doctor today. He's got a real bad chest cold and a respiratory infection. So Mother Hen called that Chad to be praying for her. Jimmy Lloyd, Lily Hendon, Brother Jimmy and Sister Nancy Rose, continue to pray for them. Miss Shirley Hughes, of course, she's still not doing well and kind of slipping off. So you pray for her and pray for Brother Richard as well. And let's pray that God will have the way with them. For Dave Clemmer and his family, they'll be traveling back this week, actually I think Monday, to go back to Peru. We had a great time with them Sunday night, of course. They'll be going back to the mission field. And then I think sometime around Christmas is when Maisie and I'm not sure if Sandro's going to come or not. I'm sure he probably will. She's going to come back here to have the baby in February because they just don't feel comfortable with prenatal care and all of that in the hospital where they are on the mission field. And so she's going to come back and have the baby here in sometime in February. At least that's what they say. And you know how that is. That could be sooner than that. So I think they're going to come sometime around Christmas, a little before, and be here until the baby is born. So please remember them in prayer also, okay? And then please be inviting folks to church Sunday. It's the first Sunday in November. We're looking forward to having a good day in the Lord. But try to get on the phone and call some folks. Let them know you miss them if they're not here. And we'd love to have them here in the service with us. Invite them to Sunday school. We'll mention, too, our track thing has really, it's kind of died off. And that worries me. I don't want to lose that. We got to hit that goal, folks. And we're way behind. But we're going to make it up. I believe it's the 17th of November, that Saturday. South Carolina, you know, they had to cancel a football game because of the hurricane. Well, it's the only home game left is on the 17th, and I don't remember who it was now, but Austin or somebody anyway, some local group. Who? Chattanooga. All right, the Chattanooga Choo-Choos. Huh? Oh, okay. So John's the assistant athletic director over there, so he knows all about it. I'm glad he followed. I did. We're gonna that the November 17th game. We're gonna do our track giveaway again as we did before, and our goal is to give out 2,000 tracks that day. Now let's not wait until then. Now Brother Joaquin is in the process of ordering kick tracks. We ran out of those completely, but we do have a lot of the regular tracks from Fellowship Track League. And so please get them and start and get. Don't wait until that Saturday. Get them. Just, you know, sometimes if you don't really keep pumping and priming that pump, all of a sudden people forget about it. And I know the holidays are coming up. I understand all that. Really, when the holidays, you're going to be out probably more in public than you would be normally shopping and all that sort of thing. And there's going to be a lot more people around doing the same thing. I'm going to do my best to go over to Sand Hills. I used to walk over there a lot at Christmas time. It's about the only time you see anybody over there, really, on the sidewalk. But I'm going to try to go over there some during the week when the holidays really pick up and do a little walking and have a little handing out of tracks. Well, that way, and if I'm walking and somebody gets mad, I can outrun them. Amen. But anyway, be sure to get some tracks back here. We've got plenty back here. In fact, there's a couple of new tracks back there that Brother Steve has discovered are very, in fact, did you get them? Okay. One has a picture of the Twin Towers, and we found out in New York City that they had bookmarks made up that way. And those things are gone quick. Those people up there certainly would take them. Brother Steve has discovered that they'll take them here, too. So we want to do that. And then there was another one. I'm not sure what that was. Untargeted purchases. So for your NRA friends and Second Amendment friends, that'd be all right, too. But we got those that seem to be pretty popular. And we got a bunch. I'm not sure how many. But if we need to get more, we can. And so please remember that. In fact, I'd like to hit that goal, and the reason is because I believe it's in February. While I was in Pennsylvania, I got a call from Bruce DeLange, who is the president of Fellowship Track League. He was the pastor there at the church in Lebanon, Ohio, for many years, and now he is the director of the Fellowship Track League, and he's going to come be with us in February, and we're going to have a track Sunday. Now, that's after, of course, our goal is 12,000. I'm talking about handing out 12,000 gospel tracts this year. That's 1,000 a month. And I'm not sure. Do you have an idea what the count is? I saw it maybe Sunday, but I didn't look tonight. So anyway, I know we're behind. We need to catch up, that's for sure. In the 8,000. And see, it's already November. So by now, we should be in the 10,000. So we're already a couple thousand behind. And plus November. So we've got to get going, folks. I really am encouraging you to get tracks and hand them out when you go to any place, the gas station, grocery store. I notice now that a lot of the stores have people out in front, you know, trying to get money for certain charities and things. Well, carry a dollar bill, give them a dollar bill, give them a track. That'll work. I'll tell you what Brother Rice used to do, and some of you may do it now, I don't know, but Brother Rice told me years ago that he started. When he would pay his bills, he put them in the mail. He'd fill out the check, and then he'd put a tract in with the bill. You do that, Susan? And that's right. So that's a good way. You know, of course, a lot of people now do it online, I guess. You know, they don't do paper stuff anymore. You and I, we're old-fashioned. We still send it in the mail. But because we can't figure out hardly how to do all that. She can, but I can't. So God help me if the Lord takes her before me. I guess I'll be in debtor's prison because I won't know how to send a check. But anyway, Let's get those tracks out. There's plenty back there right now. So we've probably got 40 folks here maybe. If everybody would just get 10, that's 400. I mean, that's a good lick. And if you could do that every week, just think about it. Every week, that's 1,200 a month. No, 1,600 a month if we do 400 a week. And so that would exceed the goal for the month. So if everybody here would get 10 tracks this and give them out between now and Sunday, you can do that. You know you can. I guarantee you're going to run across at least 10 people this week, at least. And so I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I want to challenge you. Let's really get this thing going again, okay? Brother Shelton's really put his heart into it. And it can get a little discouraging when you see that number starting to drop, like people are just not paying attention anymore. But let's really get busy and get those tracks out, okay? And I know God will bless that. I listen to the Fellowship Track League program probably at least every other day on WTBI. And they always have a little segment where they get letters, or what they do is they ask people when they get saved to send the track with their name and address back to them that they read. And they'll say track number such, such, so and so, and they got saved. And I like hearing those testimonies about that. But Brother Delaney's going to be here in February, and so we're going to have a track Sunday, and that'll kind of help really boost next year's goal. So I'd really like to do more next year. You know, it's better to set a goal high and miss it a little than set it low and hit it and then not have any real desire to do more. So we got some catching up to do to get where we need to be. We've got 3 months left. And we need to give out 4,000 tracks. So that's more than 1,000 a month for November. That's 2 months left. I'm sorry. I've missed a month here somewhere. So that means we've got to give out, 2,000 a month. So that's a lot of tracks. Now, we hope to really hit that mark when we give up. How many was it we gave out to when we went to the game last time? Do you remember? Was it right at 1,000 or a pretty good number? I know that. So no, and listen, there's no reason we couldn't give out 2,000. I mean, because we were empty in 15 minutes. In 15 or 20 minutes, we gave out that many tracks. Now that was the Georgia game. Boy, those people were freaking out that day. I don't know if they have the same kind of crowd at their tailgates for Chattanooga, the choo-choo. But anyway, I'm sure there'll be several thousand people there, so there's no reason why. And if you didn't get to go with them, you ought to go. Believe it or not, I know when you go out there and you see all those college kids and just carrying on, you think to yourself, they're not going to take no tracks from me. But I'm telling you, a lot of the folks that do the tailgating are families and people who've been going there. I think you have to buy or pay for that spot and all that. So, I mean, it's like a family tradition. And I'd go up to a group, and man, they'd say, well, what church are you with? And I'd tell them, I think some of the others said the same thing. And say, well, we really appreciate you doing this. I did have a couple that said no, and one threw it on the ground, but I just went and picked it up and gave it to somebody else. But you'd be surprised how accepted those people are for those gospel tracts. And who knows? We may never, ever hear of one person getting saved. If one does, we'll find out about it when we get to heaven. I can promise you that. And so, be sure to get some tracts. If everybody here, again, I'm not going to make you raise your hand. I don't put you on the spot. I don't want you to make a vow that you might break. So in your heart, you say to yourself, Lord, I'm going to do my best to get about 10 gospel tracts this week between now. So that's what, 2 or 3 a day between now and Sunday. Some of the tracks back there are those thank you for your hospitality tracks. Those are great to give to waiters and waitresses. And, buddy, you stick a couple bucks in there, they'll take it. I promise you that. And so there's ways to get them out, so please do that, okay? All right, I'm done rambling. Come on, Brian.
Don't forget this coming Sunday is our Pastor Appreciation Sunday. So nothing would make the pastor feel like you appreciate him more than if you are here and are faithful and you're here for Sunday school and you help us worship the Lord on Sunday. And at the same time, we're going to be honoring our pastor to have a great time. Brother Scott Pellett's going to be here. I talked to him today. He's looking forward to it. And we're looking forward to that, too. But in the meantime, we got Waterford service tomorrow night at 7 o'clock at the Waterford. That's tomorrow night. And then Saturday is going Saturday, first Saturday of the month. It'll be a good early pastor appreciation gift for your pastor, for you men to show up on Saturday morning at 10 o'clock to go knock on doors. I'm sure he would appreciate that, right? So don't forget those things. And I don't think I have anything else. Sunday night, that's right. I need to make sure to remind you, we'll have a baptism Sunday night. So Sunday's just going to be a wonderful day, and you need to get in on it. Just do everything you can to jump right in and get involved. All right.
And we have a fellowship Sunday night after church. What do they see about Inez's case, see Inez or staff about what to bring? All right, number 481. We don't sing this one a lot, but let's sing Till the Storm Passes By. Let's stand. 481. We'll sing all three stanzas. In the dark of the midnight, have I offered my faith? While the storm howls above me, and there's no hiding place, in the crash of the thunder, precious Lord, hear my cry, keep me safe. Let's have a little time of fellowship today. Thank you.
right. Thank you so much. If you'll find your place, we'll continue on with the service. And before we take the offering, you can be seated. We'll do that in a minute. But Brother Lacey, come on up here. And I want Brother Lacey Wheeler to tell us a little bit about what's going on with the ministry there in Mexico. So remember last year, Brother Steve went down there and spent some time. I guess he's coming back this coming year. Is that right?
Yes, yes.
Because he's fluent in Spanish, so he's a good help down there. As opposed to me, I barely can speak English. So, anyway, we love Brother Lacey and his wife and children. What a blessing they are. Been faithful on the mission field, and they're doing something. I appreciate missionaries that are trying to get something done and accomplished, and I appreciate that. And that's the way, you know, that's the way we ought to be as Christians. We ought to be doing something. Be trying to, just because they're far away doesn't mean we shouldn't be trying as hard here. So we want to hear Brother Lacey. Just tell us a little bit what's going on in your work, Brother Lacey.
Okay, amen. Well, first, I want to brag on your church, amen. It's good to hear about the giving up this gospel science. I love literature, and I think there's no greater way to get the gospel out and giving out literature. And we have a goal also in Mexico. Our church, at the end of the year, we got to get on the ball too, amen. And down in Mexico, we have a goal of reaching out so many packages, and we're making, I just want to say a testimony about track, if it's okay. Okay. Yesterday, we only had Spanish tracks. And I said, well, I need to get some English tracks. But I met up with Steve today, and he gave me, you can walk off 20. We got 20. I think he got 40, right? How many did he get today? Okay, all right. We're at 50, right? 50, 60. All right, but anyway. But last night I went to Lowe's and had to get water, did some plumbing. I ran into Lowe's, me and my wife, and as I was there, I said, well, the only thing I've got is Spanish track. Let's see if I can find some in Spanish. And I spotted a guy. I went over to him, and I said, sir, hermano, puede dar uno, habla español? I said, brother, do you speak Spanish? He said, he just looked at me, and I gave him a track, and he said, yeah, forget me. I gave him a gospel track, and he just looked at me. I said, you know, I was kind of puzzled, because I didn't know what he was going to say. You know, he's just looking at me. Just as serious as could be. He said, I would go to heaven. I need to know. He said, have a Bible? I said, yeah. I need a Bible. Matter of fact, I need 5 Bibles. My family. I said, really? He said, I'm taking long. But he said, show me his phone, and he says, this is my family, and this is my son here. He's 17, and goes through, and he shows his family, and his birthday with his boy, and tell me how he does signs, how he says, I love you, and he said, he died 30 days ago, 17 years old. He said, I can't focus, can't eat, can't sleep, can't eat. I'm just dead thing. He said that he was the mascot at the high school in Buford, Apalana. He was from Buford. He's originally from Honduras. He's been here 20 years. His kids were born here. And his son was the mascot for the football team. And his son asked him, Dad, can you go with me to the ball game party? And his dad said, yeah. But 2 days before the game, he died in the car wreck. And so Dad, that I talked to last night, put on the suit of the mascot for that man. He showed me the video. It's heartbreaking. So I got his address. Carl Baker, you know Carl Baker? Getting the address down there. For him. His name, this guy is Carlos Morgan or something. Amor. But he's from Honduras. But you never know about tracks. Who you give them to? You know, if he didn't stop to tell me what, well, I would have never known. But tracks are important. Giving out the gospel. People are looking, not everybody, but there's some people. So I would encourage you to keep going on. And the 20, the 10. So. Yeah. Well, Steve, he has to get 100, so he's kind of used to it. So. But anyway, we go back to Mexico tomorrow. Tomorrow, we'll go back and before us. We want to get out the gospel. We've been here a month. We have a distribution center up in Tennessee, so we got 45 pallets, and we've got 24 of them ready to go to Mexico, and we're going to send containers to Honduras. To reach the world. I'm from Mexico. From Colombia, you know.
Right.
I don't have to be there. As I call the guys and I say, can you load this container and send it to Honduras? and they said, sure, but you're going to pay for it. And I said, well, we'll find somebody to pay for it. But anyway, it's exciting. We want to do Guatemala too. You know? But also, I want to say that it's a full-time service. I would recommend it to anybody. It's a wonderful thing. I mean, But I really think, though, the heroes are those are people that get up in the morning, go to work, support the local church, support missions. You are the hero. I'm serious. And I thank you for your support for us. We have about 60 people in our church now, and we have enough funds to buy another van when we get back. And so the Lord's just blessing. I tell you, I'm excited. And we've got all kinds of candy. And then we got more candy now. And then we got the candy, rent the goods. We're gonna go back to Mexico. Amen. We got extra bags. Amen. All right. My boy said, how many pieces can I eat during church? And I said, you better not eat any because the preacher won't get on you. You can wait till after church, okay? All right, so don't eat them, all right? Anyway, I appreciate you and your church. Pray for us. We started a Bible Institute. We've got about 14 students. We tried different directions and things. You know, we helped the National Starter Church. We started one of our own. We start one in the village, but now we're going to train the nationals to let them go out to the villages because it's a lot easier for them to go out than us. And so let's pray. Well, help us pray for that when we get back. And a lot of things in June the 22nd, right? And this is going to be all in English. This 1 week, so we don't have to speak much Spanish. But the famous Steve Proud will be coming and be one of the speakers this year. And we invite you to come down and with Brother Steve. It's going to be good preaching. I'm telling you, it's going to be wonderful preaching. Oh, because of him? Yeah. We got your pants for you? Oh, good. He's ready to go. Amen. All right. Did he say he could go? Okay. Yeah. It's good. Yeah. All right. Then the neighbor is your dad, mom, though. Okay. Yeah. All right. We're just bring him with you. Okay. All right. Well, good deal. Anybody can come. If you're 120 and below, you'll be able to come. You can come. Okay. Anybody above 120? Anybody feel like you're above 120? And somebody said, you know, the only difference between you get up 55 is what you ask is how many milligrams you take a day, you know? Because we're going to hurt anyway. This is the only difference here is how many milligrams. Anyway, no, it's a blessing to be here and sit and hear some preaching before you go back. So I hope you preach to the devil out of it. All right. Anyway, pray for us. If you do like to come down, they'll probably fly out of Charlotte and it's a quick trip, 6.5 hours down, and probably about 7.5 hours back because we're going to do some customs. So it's nice. It's going to be a good time. We'll be going to some museums. We'll be going to the capital city. We're going to villages, giving out gospel tracts. Giving out 8,000 last year. And preaching is all in English. All right, preaching in English. And then tracts and giving out is in Spanish. And you don't have to say anything. Just give them out. And so it's a wonderful time. And I tell you, you'll love it. You'll come back and get all fired up to get out run your own local church. And anyway, so Pastor, thank you for the time. Amen.
All right, I'll tell you what let's do. Who's the special guy? Arthur, come on up. Get ready to sing during the offering. We'll kind of, come on, ushers, come on up. Let's get ready. We'll pray for the offering. And Mazel will sing during the offering. And I appreciate Brother Lacey. And all right. Well, so you pray about this. I didn't know the thing was in English, this meeting you're talking about. A man's Spanish, I'm telling you, I wouldn't mind going something like that and seeing it. I've got my passport card, but I think you can't fly with that yet. If I drove, I could do it, but I'm not going to do that. That's a long drive. So if you think about maybe pray about going down there, I think it'd be great. It might be a good mission trip to take for our church, you know. So still, we'll be praying about that thing. All right, Father, we love you, and we sure thank you for the opportunity to be here tonight. On Wednesday night, the last service of October. Lord, I know everybody out in the world is out celebrating Halloween, but I'm glad we're in the house of God. We're not worshiping creatures and four-footed beasts. Lord, we're worshiping the God who made this world. I'm thankful, Lord, that I know Him, and I'm more thankful that He knows me. And so, Lord, tonight I pray that we will honor You with our praise and our worship and our focus. Lord, again, thank you for this. I appreciate Brother Lacey and his family being here. Please bless them as they travel back home to the mission field there in Mexico and give them souls for their labor. Thank God for missionaries who are staying by the stuff and are trying to get something done for God. So I ask you now, Lord, tonight as we give, to missions in general. Many do on Wednesday night. If you bless the gift and the giver, bless Sister Martha. She sings for us. And then the message tonight, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Nothing, you are all. I was scared to save me life. My soul was dry, but you gave me living water. I was a wandering sin in Christ. You picked me up and gave me life. Even more, you called me son, I call you father. Oh Lord of my life, I give you all and all again. You are my king, my everything, and all I need. I give you all that you require. Lift up your name, for Jesus, you're my everlasting Father. Sometimes I stumble and I fall. Sometimes my soul is overwhelmed. But I know there is a rock that's higher than I. Lead me, Lord, and help me stand on this rock and hold my hand. I'm just a child, and Lord, I call you Father. All and all again, you are my king, my everything, and all I need. Use me, Lord, as you desire.
But we learned Sunday, as Brenda's not in here, but we learned Sunday that the Lord expects us to fail. And that doesn't mean that we can't keep on going on for Him. We don't ever quit.
Oh, Lord of my life, I give you all.
That's how you
Lord of my life, I give you all and all again. You are my king, my everything, and all I need. Use me, Lord, as you desire. I give you all that you require. Lift up your name, for Jesus, you're my everlasting Father. Lift up your name, for Jesus, you're my everlasting Father.
And I'm so glad He is. I cannot thank Him enough for what He does for me. He's been such a true blessing, and I just want to do what He would have me to.
All right, thank you, Martha. Great message to that song. Thank you. I hadn't heard that. All right, get your Bibles ready. Listen now to Pastor.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Tim, and thank you, Miss Martha, for that. The book of Amos tonight. The book of Amos for those minor prophets with a major message. The book of Amos. I know many of you are already waiting for me to give you the page number. Page 939. Amos chapter number 8, the book of Amos of the Old Testament. Now, if you are, many of you know this already, the Old Testament is not set up in chronological order. Now, we know Genesis is the beginning. After that, there are, Job was actually, is the first recorded book of the Bible. Job was written before Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible. Historically, they're first, in the beginning, pretty obvious. If you look, for example, and many of you have a Scofield Bible, or a Bible that at the top, Brother Steve mentions this often, in fact, in Daniel, he's using time and dates and things. At the top, it will say, it'll give the year approximately in the scripture. If you'll notice, the book of Amos here, it says B.C. 787. That's 787 years before the birth of Christ. But if you go back, and you can just thumb back through, because in B.C. it goes down. It goes from the high number to zero, and then back up in the New Testament where we're A.D. 2018. Okay? But if you look in your Bible, and you can flick about anywhere, you'll notice that as in some places, for example, if you go backwards, the book of Daniel was written in 580 B.C., thereabouts, according to Usher, and yet Amos is placed after the book of Daniel, but it was actually, according to Usher, written 200 years before the book of Daniel was written. Right, Brother Steve? On the money? All right. Got to check with my professor over here, make sure I'm right. But Amos, of course, if you'll notice, and go to chapter 1 for just a minute. Notice that Amos, although he is here in the scripture, and he has a message for Israel, at the time of his writing, the nation was divided. There was the northern kingdom of Israel, the southern kingdom of Judah, and the king of the northern kingdom was Jeroboam II. Now, the first Jeroboam is the one who is the son of Solomon. He is Rehoboam. Remember the story there. Well, this is the son of that king, Jeroboam, but he was basically the same type of king, very idolatrous and all of that. He followed after his father, Jeroboam. The message here is to all of Israel, even though when he says in Israel, God intends this message to go to both kingdoms. But notice in verse 1 of chapter 1, the Bible says the words of Amos, who was among the herdmen of Tekoa. Amos was not a preacher, was not a prophet, at least in his beginning. And now you go to chapter 7 is where I'll be looking tonight. Look at verse 14. Then answered Amos and said to Amaziah, I was no prophet. His calling at the time was not to be part of the scripture. He was a herdsman. That's what he did. Now, I tend to believe that Amos was a Christian herdsman. I believe he loved God. I believe he knew about God. God doesn't just pick people to love him. It gives the message out. But although he was a herdsman, he no doubt followed the family business. But no doubt, too, I believe that he loved the Lord. And because of that, God, at that time, and it's very possible that there were no prophets available at this particular time in Israel's history. But, you know, at one time, there was no judges available, and so he chose Deborah to be a judge. Now, Barak was the military leader, so there was a man involved. But, you know, there were times in Israel's history, the Bible says on a couple of different occasions, that men did that which was right in the sight of them in their own eyes because there was no leadership, no spiritual leadership. So Amos, no doubt, is one of these men who later in life, Brother Tim Griffin, who preached here a couple times while I was gone, you know, he just surrendered to preach in July, 47 years old. You know, a lot of times you think, well, if God's going to call a man to preach, he's going to be a young man like his son-in-law, Trent, who called to preach when he was 18. So he's got his whole life ahead of him. And somebody said, well, why would God wait till a man's 47 years old to call him to preach? Well, I don't know. That's not my department. All I know is if God calls a man and the man is willing to obey the calling, and age really makes no difference, does it? Shouldn't anyway. Shouldn't. And so here's a man, Amos, who is called later in life. He's doing what he's supposed to do. He's doing the family business, much like Joseph was when God began to use him. And so now, all of a sudden, God's got a message for the people of Israel. And it looks like maybe there's no one to give the message. Now, in the text I'm going to read, there's a reason why, and that's what I'm going to touch on tonight for just a few minutes. In fact, we're looking at verse 14. I read a portion of it. Could you stand with me, please, if you're able? And we'll read just down to verse 17, and then we'll pray. Then answered Amos and said to Amaziah, I was no prophet, neither was I a prophet's son. Well, obviously, preaching's not even in the family. Think about Shelton. Shelton's daddy and granddaddy, both preachers, and I think maybe beyond that even, I think, if I remember the story right. Shelton's not a preacher, but that doesn't mean he can't be a preacher, and it doesn't mean that God may not call him to preach something. Well, of course, you all know the situation, but I'm saying that there's an opportunity for him to serve God, even though he's not a preacher. He's a preacher's son, a preacher's grand, but he's not a preacher. Andrew. That's not Andrew. Everybody assumes he's going to be a preacher. He's not. He can still be a good Christian, can't he? I'm not saying that God may not call him to preach somewhere down the line. That would thrill my soul. As long as he's serving God, that's really all that matters to me. There's Amos. He said, I'm not a prophet. He said, my daddy's not a prophet. So it's not like he grew up in that sort of realm of responsibility. But look what it says. He says, but I was an herdman and a gatherer of sycamore fruit. Now, man, he was a businessman is what he was. He said, and the Lord, I like this, and the Lord took me. He said he called me. He said he took me. How about that? I mean, Amos just made himself available. God said, I'll take you. I'm telling you, folks, if you'll make yourself available to God in some form or fashion, he'll be glad to take you and use you somewhere. So it says he took it and followed as I followed the flock, and the Lord said unto me, go, prophesy unto my people Israel. Now therefore, hear thou the word of the Lord. That's what he's going to go with. He's going to say, I got something from the Lord, but here's the response from Israel to this new preacher. Thou sayest, prophesy not against Israel. And drop not thy word against the house of Isaac. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, thy wife shall be an harlot in the city, and thy sons and thy daughters shall fall by the sword, and thy land shall be divided by line, and thou shalt die in a polluted land. Israel shall surely go into captivity forth of his land. Father, we love you. Bless the word of God to our hearts as we spend a few minutes in God's word. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. I want just for a few minutes. And I don't have any sub points. I mean, God just worked the service out well with Brother Lacey being here. I've got 5 points, no sub points. I'm just going to give them to you, and you can chew on it as you go home. Okay? Actually, I got 7 points. I was just kind of, give you a little something to think about. I'm going to preach just a few moments on what happens when we stop preaching. What happens when we stop preaching? Well, I've been to this and other towns. And it seems like around in our experience of knocking on doors and folks visiting our church, 90% of the time, when it comes right down to deciding whether or not this is what perhaps the Lord may want them, I have yet, I can't say that, I have one time, heard the husband of the family say to me, Pastor, we have prayed and believe this is where God wants us. The rest of the time, this is what I heard. What do you got for the children? You don't have anything for the children. You don't have children's church. You don't have Acts the Pirate. You don't have, and just say, what do you have for the children? I said, preaching. I ain't going to lie to them. I'm not going to say, why, sure we do. We have Acts the Pirate. No, we don't. Yeah, we have children's church. Not yet. We couldn't have children's church here. Could you imagine getting 30 youngins back there if we had that many, and they start saying, well, I'm trying to preach. Somebody's going to have to be quiet. And when I'm preaching, it's not going to be me. Amen. So they say, we're going to look somewhere else then because we don't have anything for the children. And by the way, so you understand, I'm not against those things. I want to have them. But our intention was to have enough building here, and the county messed all that up. We had plans for all kinds of, for all that stuff, but the county put so much regulation upon us, before Trump got elected. Amen. And so we wound up spending all of our fellowship hall money on digging that pond back there that never had any water in it. Even the ducks are protesting out there. Unfair to Union ducks, because we never have any water out there. But what's lacking, and Brother Lacey may say that, maybe not to the same degree in Mexico, only because we are so accustomed to what we have here that people take a church like this for granted, including church members. Now, in Mexico, where these folks are in, they're in the same darkness as anybody here is. The difference is Catholicism and other things like that, and poverty and things like that. Some of that will draw people to something like this, where you're out handing out tracts, or handing out Romans or John, or you're inviting them to a church and giving them some hope because those people don't have much. Those same people that don't have hope there don't have it here. The only difference is they know enough about the church to mess them up. My own brother told me that today. My brother Jeff calls me all the time now. I mean, 3 or 4 times a day. And I told you, yes, I can always tell when he wants to talk about something spiritual. Because when I answer the phone and say, what you doing? So I'm just sitting here talking to you. He says, I got a Bible question. Now, he says something specific, like, you talk to mom today, or you get the floor done, or how far are you? And I know that's what he wants to talk about. But when he says, what you doing? And I know he won't, and he did that today. We spent almost an hour talking to Matthew 13. And here's what he told me. He said, all that time, 56 years old. He said, all that time that I wasted knowing what I know. Now, you talk to someone who's never heard the gospel or very limited gospel message or influence. When they finally do hear it, it so surprises them and so shocks them until that's all they can think about. And yet people in America, they don't want to hear preaching anymore. Not really. Not old-fashioned preaching. Now, they don't mind hearing sermonettes and Stephen Furtick and that Elevation Church, if you don't know, if you watch that bird, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. And Joel Osteen and all the rest of that bunch, half that crowd's a bunch of crooks anyway. I know. And preacher, you ought not to say stuff like that. Well, the Bible said, cry loud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet. Da-da-da. There you go. Okay? But notice, Amos, here's a guy who's one of the, he's just one of the folks. He's a local businessman. Now, he's a Christian, no doubt. Loves the Lord. But God chose him to give the message. So he goes to his neighbors, his friends. Now, of course, it extends throughout Israel itself. It had to start somewhere. So he didn't become a national evangelist. It had to start someplace. And God said, here's what I want you to tell them. And you'll notice, notice in verse 15, and the Lord took me as I thought, and the Lord said unto me, go prophesy unto my people Israel. And here's all he told him to say. Now therefore, hear thou the word of the Lord. That's all he said. That's all. And before Amos could get the message out, they said, we don't want to hear that. That's what it says in the very next phrase. I'll say it. God told me to say to you, here's what the Lord wants you to know. And before I could even get it out, you answered me back and said, we don't want to hear that. I'll say it. Prophesy not against Israel, and drop not thy word. I mean, he said, not only do I want to hear it, don't give me tracts, don't give me pamphlets. I don't want you to, text me. I don't want you to email me. I don't want any of this. Just don't even drop any of that stuff in my lap. Now that is, what is that? 2,800 years ago, and it sounds a whole lot like today. And so I just wrote these out and getting to you quick. It's 3:08. Ready? You gonna listen fast? Okay, because I'm gonna talk fast. Now if you'll raise your hand and pledge $1,000 tonight, I'll talk faster. What happens when we stop preaching? Number one, we lose our conviction. We lose our conviction. When we're not hearing the word of the Lord and they weren't just telling Amos we don't want to hear, they're telling God we don't want to hear what you have to say. Church, if we don't want to hear what God has to say, why are we even here? This is not a club. It's not a social hall. It is the house of the Lord. And the Lord said, I've got something I want to say. And listen, if I come to your house, and I'm sitting in your living room, and I'm drinking your Coca-Cola, and eating your cookies, and you want to tell me something, I'm going to have enough about me to listen to what you have to say. Whether I like it or not. Because I'm in your house. Why is it that we can't give God the same respect? People come to church, they don't want to hear the word of God. They want to eat their biscuits and drink their coffee. Have a donut. Amen. You know, they signify a certain time of the day to eat breakfast, and it's not until 10:30 in the morning. Amen. I know. Don't drop that in my lap. Well, if you're not guilty, I didn't. We lose our convictions, our standards, things that we even sort of grew up with some knowledge of how to act. In one part of the scripture, it says that Paul had to teach that bunch how to behave themselves in the house of God. Why do we need preaching like that? Because we're not behaving ourselves in the house of God. And we're sure not behaving ourselves outside the house of God. So what happens? We lose our convictions. We lose our standards. When we're not being, and I'm not talking about being pumped and primed. I'm talking about being encouraged and exhorted and built up in the faith. If there's no preaching, we lose our conviction. Hey, if we stop preaching, we lack conversion. I'm not totally against PowerPoints and all that stuff. But when that becomes the most important part of the service, without scripture and without the word of God, without preaching, and you just take a laser pointer and go, let me tell you what somebody told me Sunday. I think he told my wife the same thing. I don't know, he might have told you. Anyway, had a man come in this Sunday morning visiting. Only been here one other time that I remember, not even here, the other place. He come in, I didn't recognize him wearing a suit. Then I said, sir, we're glad to have you. He said, man, and he told me it was Leslie Thompson's son, Carl Jr. The time I ever saw him dressed up. And I said, well, man, I said, Carl, I said, man, we're glad to have you. I said, you and Laura Lee and of course, Noah, and he used to come to church when he was just a little fella with his grandmother. And here's what, and I said, is it a special occasion? Is it Leslie's birthday or something like that? Is what he told me. Looked me right in the face, grabbed my hand, and said, I'm tired of muddy preaching about Jesus. I want to come somewhere where I can hear gospel message. And we're going to start coming here. I've never knocked on his door that I know of. I've always been caught, but I haven't even seen him but three or four times since I've been here. But I'm telling you, folks, if what he called, and I said, amen, this muddy preaching. But all, he said, preacher, I'm tired of hearing people tell me how to live as a new Christian, and all it is about how to live and do. I need preaching. Me too. And if we don't preach, we won't see people saved. You know what the Bible says? God chose the foolishness of PowerPoint to save them that believe. Careful, Brother Johnny, wait till I finish before you say amen right there. That's people all the time doing that. And I'm shouting right there. By the way, glad to have Brother Johnny and his wife here. So Johnny Gardner, a missionary to the State House. I got a little pamphlet about, I'm glad old McMaster said he took that money out of Planned Parenthood. He's going to sign that bill that makes fetuses persons when they're conceived. Amen. By the way, you ought to vote for him. I got a text the other night from that Smith feller's campaign. A text. Yeah, I've never gotten one more like that. And it said, I'm so-and-so with the John Smith for governor campaign. Can we count on your vote? I answered him. I don't text a lot, but I answered him. In fact, I tried to call the number that wouldn't go through. So I texted him back. I said, no way. I don't want a governor who's a democratic socialist who doesn't believe in anything. Go Henry McMaster. Amen. There's my political ad for tonight. Somebody said, well, you didn't give James Smith equal time. Yeah, I did. I called him a democratic socialist. There you go. I gave him equal time. I know what I believe. And God said he chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that would believe. Everybody in this room that's saved, you say, well, I got saved reading the gospel tract. But you heard the preaching somewhere. Somewhere you heard preaching. You know that's right. So what happens when we stop preaching? We lose our convictions. We lack conversion. We live contrary to God's word. Because if somebody's not telling you about it, and if you don't have enough about you to read it every day, how are you going to know what God wants? So, we quit preaching. I've heard it. We lose our convictions. We lack conversions. We're contrary to God's word. We look confused. You get around somebody that I'm telling you, you get around somebody that doesn't understand preaching, and they don't know what, they come through here and they say, man, I've never heard anybody preach and shout and yell like that before. I've never seen it like that before. Listen, a man doesn't have to shout and yell and stomp around to be a preacher. As long as he is giving the gospel. Amen? Everybody's different. I Brother Tim Gridman was here. I know he's different. But Tim's just such a humble fella. You know, I call him Brother Thumb. Because the first time I saw him after he shaved his head, he looked like a thumb. And I call him Brother Thumb. I'm the only one that can, so if he ever comes back, don't you call him that. Yeah, I don't want to get offended. You get around people that don't know what they believe, and you start preaching and singing and testifying, and they look like, what in the world have I got myself into? I've had people sit in here and look at me like a cat at a new gate. They look around, and all of a sudden, they listen to Martha. They look like, whoa, must be a Pentecostal church. And my old brother Jeff said, he's been picked up on it. He said, I know when Judy's fixing to shout, but she's like a siren. But he told me, it's all right. Yeah, it's all right. You know what he said? But I like it. What happens when we stop preaching? Got three more to go, and I'm already 5 minutes late. We lose our convictions. We lack conversions. We live contrary to God's word. We look confused. We leave our calling. We leave our calling. So now there are times, Brother Lacey, down there on that mission field when you don't get the results you desire, and the devil says, why bother? I'm telling you, there have been many Sunday afternoons when no one moved and no one came to the altar, and I go home and the devil says, why are you even bothering? I happen to know, number one, that God's in control, and number two, it's not my job to get you to the altar. It's my job to give you thus saith the Lord, and if you come to the altar, it's because He wants you to, not because I do. So many are quitting, shame. I tell you, I told them, you know, I don't have an opportunity to ride around on Wednesday, on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights because I'm here at church. That day we were coming back, trying to get here for that Sunday night service, and we go down the interstate, and listen, you see churches on the side of the road dark. I hadn't sure. He said, well, preacher, you started early. We were going by them at the time they could normally because we started later. So I could get here. You'll remember. The more Wednesday night service, plus they have, you know, what do they call prayer groups. I'm not against prayer, by the way. Not at all. Anytime you come to the house of God, somebody ought to preach something. Even if it's 5 minutes. Not me. Anybody else, 5 minutes. Two more and I'm done. Not only do we leave our calling, but when we stop preaching, we languish in calamity. All of a sudden, something doesn't go quite right, and because we're not built up in the most holy thing, that's the foundation is not built on. Trouble comes, and the first thing we want to do is run. We don't run to the house of God like we should. We run to the internet, or we run to the job, or we just run. Not the way it's supposed to be, folks. There's no preaching, and we languish in calamity. And what? Excuse me, one more. What happens when we stop preaching? We lose our convictions, we lack conversion, we live contrary to the Word of God, we look confused, leave our calling, we languish in calamity, and we labor in conflict. Well, you know what happens when there's no preaching? People go to church, no expectation. They do it because they feel like they have to. I gotta go. My family's been members of that church for 100 years. I gotta go. No, I have a position. I don't want to. I have a position, so I guess I'll have to go. And then they get there, and there's nothing. Choir gets up and sings like a bunch of icicles. Thank God for our choir, I'm telling you. Every chance I get, I go home, I pull up the choir. I just listen to the choir sing. Sounds good to me. I like it. Don't labor. So when we stop preaching, all of a sudden, stuff starts happening amongst everyone. Because the crowd's trying to live a one way, and the other one's not. And there's no preaching to bolster either side. So now, instead of fighting the devil, we fight one another. We want everybody to know we're trying to build a church, but it's really hard. You know, people just aren't responding. You know why? Because when they come, they see a lot of calamity in cooking. And if they're not expecting preaching, if they don't get preaching, they don't understand that's the problem. I've said this many times, and I'll continue to say it. 99.9% of the trouble any of us can have or will have in the ministry or in the church when we read the Bible. Because believe it or not, when you're reading your Bible in your personal time, guess what God is doing? He says, yeah, what He does. And maybe you ever read something in the Bible at some point, and then me or somebody teach on exactly what you read. You go, wow, I know what he's talking about. You know why? You read it, and then you heard it. Thank God for preaching. Amen? Preaching. Thank God for programs. Thank God for palaces, and thank God for fellowship halls, and parsonages, and all the stuff. But we need preaching. Father, we love you tonight. Thank you for this time together. Simple message.
I appreciate Brother Lacey coming. So good to see him and his precious family and give him safety tomorrow. Brother Johnny and his wife, and we so love these, their boldness to stand up for the unborn. Lord, and I thank you, God, that tonight, Halloween, we didn't come to have a festival. We came to have preaching. That's what I like, preaching. I love preaching. A brother told me today, he went to a service last night. He said, man, it was good. That was good preaching. Yeah, that's what we need, preaching. I know those folks in Mexico need preaching. The folks at the State House need preaching. Columbia needs preaching. South Carolina needs preaching. America needs preaching. Help us, Lord, to preach. And say, thus saith the Lord. Now, what folks do with it is not our, that's not our department. But we must preach the truth. So, Father, I pray that you'll bless our preaching, not mine specifically, but the preaching that comes from this pulpit, whether it's me, Brother Lacey, or some other preacher, or missionary, or evangelist, or a lay speaker, Lord, whoever it is, may it always be seasoned with preaching. Thank God for our choir. Thank God for our special music. Thank God for Sunday school. Thank God for every opportunity to minister here. But God, it all be based upon old-fashioned Bible preaching. Thank you for this time together. Bless the invitation in Jesus' name.